We began talking, Pastor Jerry, myself, Scott Green, our children's pastor, we began talking weeks ago about this series in particular. And we are coming off of the heels, if you're a regular attender here at the chapel, we're coming off the heels of one of the great series I've ever heard in my life called Fringe. Just a fantastic series that our pastor did. And now we are going to transition for the next few weeks on a topic that is relative to every single individual in this room, and it's the topic of parenting. If you go, but Pastor Dave, I am just a high school kid, or I'm a college student, or I'm single, or I'm an empty nester, or whatever the case may be where you're at. We hope and trust that we are able to connect with every single one of you in the next few weeks on this topic called parenting. It's a critical topic that in this church we are blessed, because there are people sitting in this room in both of our gatherings today that are excited about the possibility of someday being a parent. You know who you are. There are folks in this room, and we'll be in the next hour, that are very excited about the possibility because they are expecting their first child and they're about to be a parent. There's those of us in the room that are right in the middle of our parenting experience. That's kind of where I fit in. Some of you have already transitioned the season of life and you've already reared children and they've now grown. Maybe they're even as an adult back in your home, or they're off on their own, starting their own family. And some of you in this room have come through a season of life as an adult, not having had children. And I want to talk to all of us today and over the next few weeks. We kind of labeled it green flag, caution flag, checkered flag. And over the next several weeks, we want to address the specifics in the genre of a race. When you start to think about the green flag, it's the starting point for what we do in a race. There are a lot of different metaphors that we can use, but in this particular case this week, let's talk about what it looks like to get started in this whole concept of a race. You go, you know, well, Pastor Dave, you're right in the middle of pastoring as well as parenting. Can I just tell you, I don't have all the answers on this topic. We could get a combined influence in this room, and we could help to provide some answers, but I don't have all the answers, you don't have all the answers, but one of the things that I think might help you to understand kind of where we're going to come from, for me personally, I'm going to walk up here today and talk to you about kind of from the last couple of decades of working with teenagers, children, and families. The last couple of decades, I've had the distinct privilege and honor of working with a lot of teenagers, a lot of kids, and a lot of parents. Darlene and I, in our journey of parenting, have also had people influence and impact us. We've also had the opportunity of counseling a lot of parents along the way. And you can imagine, after years and years of doing this, you pretty much hear a lot of the same stories over and over with a little twist here and there. And everybody's story is very unique to you. But in this thing called parenting, it's important that we get the foundation squared away. If you're a college student, you're a high school student, we want you to pay close attention, because we want to give you some handles that you can grab a hold of when you become a parent one day. For those of you getting ready to start your parenting career, we hope that you are able to dive in deep and grab some handles as well. And for those of you that are investing in the next generation of parents, we hope you get some tools that you can latch onto. Because you know, and I know, we're watching a culture shift dramatically on this issue of parenting. It's a serious subject for us to address, and we all are feeling very honored that we have the privilege, the honor, opportunity for us to talk about this topic with you. What's interesting is, not only do we come with some experience in dealing with parents and kids, but we have the ultimate source to rely on. And over the next few weeks, we want to talk to you about some principles from the Word of God that can help us on this journey of parenting. We want to talk to you about starting, the cautions in the middle of it, and how to finish strong. You know, we are blessed because in this room, if you slide out those doors, you would find middle schoolers, elementary age, a nursery and preschool. If you were here on a Wednesday night, you'd see high school students. On a Tuesday night, you would see college students. In this church, we are blessed with a lot of children, a lot of young people. We have a distinct responsibility as a church family to help rear up this next generation. It's done in a partnership between the church and the parents. Maybe you are an educator here today and you have the privilege of day in and day out as a profession of investing in the lives of this next generation. We all have a vested interest here. And what we'd like to do is allow us to talk with you. Again, we don't have it all figured out, but we think we can bring some things to the table that we can help, because cultural trends can be very demanding on the life of a parent. For example, there's a cultural trend right now that says something to the effect of, if I would just piggyback on the intelligence of my child, everything could be okay. Because they're a smart kid, everything should land okay. And as a matter of fact, there's another cultural trend that says, if we piggyback on the athletic ability of a child, that might be our nest egg for somewhere down the line. And there are parents all across our country that are trying to piggyback on the accomplishments of a child for future. And this cultural trend can be very disturbing. As a matter of fact, one of the cultural trends that I want to talk to you about today that I think is most disturbing that I'm experiencing from a pastor slash counselor in the lives of parents is this whole concept of experience-rich lifestyles. What I mean by that is this. When you sit down and you begin talking with different parents about the parenting skill, the family unit, you begin to hear some things that are woven deep into those relationships. What's interesting, though, is you typically don't hear so much about the problem of what's going on. For example, if you're a parent in here and you experience some of the challenges in your parenting life, and you sit down and you talk with one of our pastors on staff or a counselor in some form and you seek counsel, you're typically not walking in with, help me to identify what the problem is. You, myself, if we're talking to somebody, we're typically looking for the solution. We've already identified where the challenge is. The challenge might be, I've got a son or a daughter that is very disrespectful, or I've got a son and daughter that's gone the way of the world, or I've got a son or a daughter that's not being honest, and we can run that gamut, and we kind of know what the problems are. It's about trying to discover what is the solution for those things. And what's interesting, when you sit and you talk with people over a number of years and you have the opportunity of listening to their stories, there are certain things that rarely ever come into play in those discussions. Things like this. Well, it all started when I didn't make the eighth grade basketball team. Rarely do you hear comments like that from a parent. Well, it all started when my parents didn't put me in the right private school. I had to go to public school. Those are just things we don't hear. We don't hear the comments like, my dad made me drive a used car, and that's the result of why I am the way I am today as a parent. Those just aren't common themes for a parent. What is typical, though, is that we begin to see a common thread does take place. You begin to hear an experience-rich lifestyle. It's kind of like this. If somebody were to come to examine our lifestyles in the United States, and let's just narrow that down even to Buffalo, and they were not familiar with our lifestyle. They were not familiar. Let's let's just go way out there. Let's call it an alien comes from outer space and kind of observes who we are. And they don't know anything about us. And they begin to observe us for days and weeks and maybe even a month or two. I think some of the things they would begin to discover about us, and they would begin to formulate a plan of what they think we are, they would begin to say things like this. Boy, life and death must be dependent upon getting to that game on time, or getting to their children's rehearsal on time, or getting to something on time. They might think that life and death is dependent upon activity in the life of a parent with their child. And I'm not opposed to activity. I'm engaged in a lot of activities with my kids. But sometimes we get into a false sense of security with lots of activity with our children. And we provide lots of great experiences. And our kids become experience rich. But unfortunately, relationally poor. And there's a trend that continues to grow that is very disturbing. The battle in this trend is for you and I as a parent. We want to make sure our kid's on the right team. We want to make sure that our child's in the right school. And we want to make sure they're a part of the right club and that they've got the right opportunities and experiences. And we will max out our lives, even at the point of financially maxing out ourselves, in order to provide the right experience. But our kids are growing up relationally poor. And we know as adults, those of you that are 30s and 40s, 50s and up, as an adult, we know that it's our ability to develop mature and lasting relationships that provides the right quality of life. It's not the drawing back from our childhood experiences. And I'm not downplaying experiences. I think they're wonderful and I encourage you to have them. But our tendency in culture is to err on the experience side at the expense of the relationship side. And oftentimes what you hear in the common thread is families can't even sit and have dinner together. Parents struggle to have a one-on-one, eyeball-to-eyeball conversation with their teenager or their middle schooler. And those conversations are so far and few between because we're so busy, we're so engaged in activity, providing the right experience, we missed the relationship. It is rare that we would monitor or even grade ourselves on the depth and quality of our relationships with our kids. We typically are judged by or evaluated by what are they involved in. Now, I hope you're with me today. And you are going to, through the course of this message today and the next few, you're going to be challenged in your own parenting skill, regardless of where you're at. If you're a grandparent in the house, you're investing in the next generation. If you're coming up to be a parent someday, we want to give you some tools to hang on to. But we're typically evaluated on how active, how involved are our kids. And then it goes a step beyond that. How well did they perform in that activity? It's kind of sad. That's the cultural trend that challenges and sucks us in. Man, it's tough. Matter of fact, if you are somebody like an educator, a coach, you even deal with these types of things. You will find yourself dealing with a parent that is under-involved or over-involved in the life of their child. For example, I grew up as a ball player and now as a pastor working with students. An educator may find themselves in this position. They deal with a discipline because Johnny is constantly out of control. They can't control Johnny in the classroom. And as a parent, you know, Johnny is just out of control. Johnny can't be controlled. And you are ready to pull your hair out because you can't figure out, how do I deal with Johnny? And we begin to label it all kinds of things and we seek all this counsel and advice. And Johnny shows up at school and he gets himself in trouble. And because we are not involved in Johnny's life relationally, we're providing so much experience. What happens in the life of a coach, an educator, a minister, is mom and dad may show up And I have talked to numerous teachers where parents show up and the blame game begins. As a matter of fact, I know a situation where a principal dealt with Johnny, and mom and dad showed up with an attorney at the school. You know, we have to be cautious as parents. We have been given the right and the blessing of being a parent, but it's a tough job. And it's a job we only get one shot at with each child. And we may think, well, I've reared three kids and then a fourth one comes along. I'm a pro at this, and every kid we know is different. So being a parent is an awesome responsibility. And what happens in those situations is oftentimes parents will overreact to try to deal with the setback in society that their child is experiencing. They'll jump on a situation, and because they've not been involved, there's a sense of guilt on their part, and so they become over-involved, or they just push away. Typically, if a parent's not involved, they begin financially to try to compensate for it, for the time that they've lacked with their child. And we can see these extremes happen, and I just want to tell you, everybody ends up on restriction in these situations. And you know, and I know, restriction just doesn't work. I mean, if you think back to restriction when you were a teenager, the sense of bitterness grows in you over those things that are taken away because it becomes a control issue. And can I just say, for all of our parents, there is a place and a time for the control aspect in the lives of our child. But that influence has to be there as they grow and they mature. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. So after a couple of decades in dealing with kids, students, parents, I want to encourage you, don't overreact if your child gets into some trouble. Don't be uninvolved in their life. The current trend is for you to provide more and more experience, more and more activity at the expense of the relationship. And as we embark on this series, we want to give you a starting point. And it's going to be kind of in the form of three questions as a parent you can ask over and over and over again in the life of your parenting. If you're a grandparent, if you're a college student hoping to be a parent one day, these are three questions that will help you to formulate, am I doing the right thing as a parent? And they're going to be straight from here. For Darlene and I, we have had the privilege of working with some great parents. We've watched, we've observed, like many of you, there's people you identify. Boy, that's a great parent, or that couple, or this coworker. Man, they just do a great job parenting. And we've had those experiences well in our life. And what we've discovered in many of these situations are the couples that we value their parenting skill, the ones that we value the most. Now, there are exceptions to the rule. I get that. But for us, the parents that we have seen do the parenting skill well, from our perspective, almost in all cases, it's interesting. They didn't grow up in an experience-rich environment. They always talk about the relationships that they've had. And as you develop your parenting skill and you talk with couples, you'll begin to hear some of those things as well. Because the people we watch that are investing into our lives in different areas, like a parent, allow us to pick and choose what are some of those skills we want to use, what are some of them we want to discard, because we know that the parenting issue is huge. So when we talk about the experience versus relationship, there's got to be a great balance here. A balance between giving them the right experiences without robbing them of the critical relationships. And so the three handles that we're going to give you today, we hope will help you in that arena. So let's talk for a second about how we got to these three questions before I give you the questions that you can use over and over and over again. It really comes from talking to parents, from dealing with families, from reading, from research, from observation, conversations with people that are interested in this particular sect of life. And what we know, if you are a student of the parenting process, what we know is this, that for the most part, we are a product or we are the sum of the relationships that we've had, the experiences that we've experienced, and the decisions that we've made. Now think about that for a minute. For the most part, we as adults, if you're a student here today, that's cool too. For the most part, we are a product of the relationships we have, the experiences that we experience, and the decisions that we make. You know, it's interesting when we start to examine those three things from the greatest truth, God gives us some great insight on this. In other words, if you look at the sum total of my life, you could reduce, by and large, you could reduce my life to those three things. Now, I'm not trying to oversimplify. I'm trying to help us get some perspective because this parenting issue is so big and broad. To narrow it down in a few weeks to talk about is really challenging, particularly when you're in the middle of it. We can boil that down to the relationships I've had, the experiences I've experienced, and the decisions I've made along the journey. Now, don't you know that to be true? For the most part, the experiences that we have in life are typically dictated by the relationships in our life. It's an interesting mix. And what's interesting, even to go a step beyond that, the decisions that we make in life, not just as a parent, but in all of life, the decisions that we make are typically influenced as well by the relationships that we have. So when we start to examine that, common thread comes out, relationships. I said to Daryl down here, three times this morning, I heard the term relationship mentioned from the platform. Relationship is critical to this piece. Your key relationships are going to impact who you are and who you become more than anything else. As a matter of fact, there are three specific relationships. The relationships we have with our parents, the relationships we have outside our family and our home, and the relationships with God. Think about those three. Think if our decisions and the experiences in our life are impacted and influenced by three primary relationships. How is your relationship with your parents? How's your relationship with those outside your family? Those are friendships. For a student, it would be their peers. And how is your relationship with God? And when we start to break down this whole parenting skill, the influence that we have in our lives to influence the next generation that are going to lead us, we got to know who's shaping our kids. Parents are still the single greatest influence in the life of a child. But other people are helping to shape them. And ultimately, we know that it is God or a lack of relationship with God that will help to shape and to form. I wanted to use an illustration today to kind of give you an idea that might be able to help you. We're just going to kind of use our minivan stereo here. This is not the high-tech CD player in your sports car. This is the minivan stereo here. The old style. There it is. If we could give you this visual to help you, we think that we can go a long ways in helping all of us walk out to remember something that you are constantly in tune with. When we talk NASCAR minivans, and the series is called NASCAR minivans, most of our cars have this radio setting in our car, and we can tune things in, we can tune things out. If you've got a really fancy one, you can up the bass, you can up the treble, you can shift speakers around the automobile. I mean, you know all that stuff. But we just wanted to kind of simplify this for you today. And so we're going to give you a visual today that hopefully you can hang on to in this journey of parenting. If we were able to turn back time in your life as an individual, and we could turn the knob and dial in something, what if we're able to dial in a little more God at a certain place in our life? What if in your life you were able to go back to that first college roommate or that first boyfriend, first girlfriend, and you could just dial in a little more God at that season of your life? Would it have changed some of the experiences that you've experienced? What if we were able to turn the tuner and get to a place and we were able to dial in that particular person into our life? And we could turn up the volume of listening to what they had to say, because we know at this point in our life, because we've got a little bit more maturity than we had back in that day, we know had we listened a little more intentionally at that point, it may have saved us some heartache. What if we were able to dial out somebody? And we just go, you know what? I wish if I could turn it back, I'd just dial that person right out of my life. Then I would have been save from some significant heartache. Because what we know is that there are going to be critical times in our life where we need to dial in a little more mom. We need to dial in a little bit of dad's wisdom. And some of you want to dial out a little bit of mom and dad. Some students in here would like to turn that volume down quite a bit. But when we start to use the tuner in our life and we start to think about the experiences that we've had, it's ultimately impacted our decisions, and it's all been relationally based. It's really pretty simple. Parents, one of the challenges I think we experience as we tune in on our child, particularly if you've got a college, high school, middle schooler, one of the things we'll turn up the volume on is our ability to control them. If you've ever spent time talking to me, it's a really big issue that I buy into and believe in. There is a point in a time, I've got three children and we've had two orphans in our home as well. And there's a point in a time in our life where my children were young and I was big and they looked up to daddy and I was just the big strong guy. And there was this sense of control because of the things I could do as a parent in their life. Listen, if you're going to be a parent one day, you need to grab this one. Because if you can start at the starting line when the green flag goes off with this principle already grounded deep in you, I promise you it will help you. We have the ability to have this sense of control in their life. And they look up to us and they view us with this sense of control. And there's things we can do. We can keep them from harm by pulling back on them. We can keep them from doing certain things. We can even keep at a certain age them away from certain friendships. But as they grow, they begin to spread those wings a little bit. The control measures begin to unravel. And what happens so often in the life of a parent is this, that teenager now at 15, 16 years old has got this rebellious spirit, and we're going, what happened? How do I gain that back? It's about influence, not control. And what will happen is we'll start to pull back on things. What used to work at 3 and 4 and 5 years old, I'll take this toy away to teach them a lesson. We now say, let me take those car keys away. Let me restrict you from the Wii. Let me restrict you from going out on a date, so I'll take the car away. And we begin and continue in this control method. What I want to encourage you and challenge you with is you have to build influence into their life. That's relationship. And as a young parent, I feel like I'm still a young parent. I've got a high school student. I've got a middle schooler, and I've got an elementary student. And I still am bigger and stronger than all three of them, and there's still this sense in them of dad can control. But I can tell you in all three of their life, in their lives, my high school student, it's more about my ability to influence her than it is to control her. And oftentimes what a parent will say is, Johnny's just out of control. I want to encourage you as a parent. Don't let your default mechanism be, I'm just going to crank up the volume. And I'm going to do more control. You want to mess with me, Johnny? Well, let me just turn up the heat on you a little bit more. Give me the car keys. Johnny, you're going to act that way? Let's see how you like this. And we crank it up, and now we yell and scream at Johnny. And pretty soon there is so much tension and conflict. Guess what it affects? Your marriage. And the impact it has on your other children, and the impact it has on your job in business, and the impact it has on your spiritual walk with God. Because Johnny's rebellion, we just turn it up another notch and try to deal with him. And the family gets out of control. As a parent, I can't control all of the experiences my kids are going to have. I can't do it. I can't even control all the decisions my kids are going to make. Wouldn't you love to as a parent? Wouldn't you love? Because we've got a different sense of wisdom about us than they do. We've got perspective they don't have. Wouldn't you love to be able to control some of the decisions and the experiences our kids have? We can't. But what we can do is we can control relationships that they have. The key factor in parenting is about relationship. And this is where I am so happy that we have a church that buys into this. We are blessed from our staff all the way through volunteers to the family units of this place, that we are blessed with relationship building. Matter of fact, that's really a focus of what family ministry at the chapel does. How do we build bridges of relationship in order to allow us to have influence in the life of that young person? At your college level, that might be called an e-group. At high school, that's called a small group. In middle school, it's called a small group. In King's World, it's a classroom environment on Sunday where a small group leader week in and week out loves on those kids. And we have the opportunity here at the chapel to invest in this next generation of parents. And as we watch the trend of parenting plummet, we have a responsibility to those kids. And you have a responsibility, and I have a responsibility to our children to help mold and shape them in the image of God. And investing in the next generation is not about us begging you to serve in one of those environments, but it's about offering you the privilege of serving in one of those environments. What a greater privilege than to take one of God's creation and come alongside parents who are already stressed and partner with them. What a beautiful concept we have here. Challenge is, we got to get more of you to do that. The challenge is, from our college ministry, high school, middle school, all the way down through babies and elementary school, preschool, into the babies, into the nursery, there is a need for people that would come alongside and invest in this generation. Not to be the spiritual guru of their life, but to be the partner that a mom and a dad needs, a single mom, a single father, a blended family, need another adult to help communicate into their life. This week, in my mailbox came a card that looks just like this. This is the actual card. There's the note. This is the actual card. Came in my mailbox, addressed to my high school daughter this week. And it mentions her name on here, says a couple of things. It's an introduction to a small group leader to my high school daughter. With some dates of, hey, we'll see you at this particular thing. And the last statement is this: I love you. You're incredible. Signed by a small group leader. And that came in our mail this week because the value we've placed on another adult coming alongside in a partnership with us as parents is huge. Moms and dads, we need adults like that in our life that can say and communicate the same thing we desire, but come along from a different perspective and offer some wisdom into their life. The three key influences in the life of our children. Number one, parents. Parents, the springboard passage that we chose for this series is found in Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're going to put it up on the screen. If you've got a copy of God's Word, you need to have this one highlighted. If you're going to be a parent someday, you look forward to parenting. If you're going to be a grandparent, you're going to help invest in the next generation. You need to know Deuteronomy chapter 6. It's one of the critical passages in the Word of God that relate directly to us as a family unit in our parenting skill. It comes just on the heels of God providing instruction to the Israelites on all the different things he would like them to do. It's called 10 Commandments. And God has laid out some different specific things. And we want you to check it out. Here's verse 6 and 7. You need to read this whole chapter starting verse 1, but for sake of time, we've got 6 and 7. These commands that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Now think about what he's saying. As God gives this to us through the author Moses, he's talking to the leaders, the fathers of the children. And he's saying all of these commandments that we've been given today, we need to take and press them down into the lives of our children. Don't just take and hoard what God's given you, but press it down into their life. Watch this. Talk about them when you sit at home. Here, we would call that mealtime. That's a great time for us. Sit down at mealtime and have discussion with your child. A great parenting tool is to sit and eat a meal and talk. By the way, at that mealtime, what I would encourage you, if we were talking one-on-one, here's what I would encourage you to do. I would encourage you to listen and appreciate what you hear out of your child. As soon as they start to open up, if you've got a high school student, they begin to unload their day, don't become critical. Oh, what were you thinking? Pretty soon, they shut down. So I want to encourage you, mealtime, when you're sitting at home, this is a focused discussion where you can hear and value what your child is saying to you. Let's look at the rest of that passage of Scripture. When you walk along the road, we would call that drive time. We don't walk anymore like they did back then. We have minivans to ride in. And as we go along the road, we provide resources here at the chapel, but there's lots of things you can do. Just pick up an alabaster box CD and put it in. Pick up a CD and sing worship songs with your children. Have wonderful dialogue with them. I consider this time a beautiful time in the life of my children because this is my opportunity to be a friend to them. So in the mealtime when I'm sitting around the table, that's my time to just hear and value their input. But when we're riding around, that's my time to be their friend. It also says when you walk along the road, when you lie down. Interesting. For us, that's bedtime, nighttime. It's an interesting concept as God lays all of this out. This is the time for us as a parent to become the counselor in their life. That's when emotionally they're stripped. They're exhausted from the day, and it's the opportunity for you to listen and provide counsel into their life. A wisdom that only you as a parent has for your child. I don't have it like you do for your child. And the last statement there is, and when you get up. I consider this and when you get up time, morning time for us. That's the time where I become a coach to my kids. That's when I'm encouraging my kids because for my three children, they're all going off to school for the day and I'm not going to see them for 8 or 9 hours. I want their last remembrance of me at home that morning is a positive one because as they're soaking and listening to those peers that are influencing them and they're telling them how much they were yelling and screaming with their mom or dad or how bad it is in their home, I want my child to remember because Coach Dad said the last thing to them, you're awesome. You got purpose today. Hey, live for Jesus today. Hey, have a great day. Give your best at whatever it is. I'm sending them off encouraged, just as a coach would do. So God lays out in Deuteronomy 6 these four wonderful principles And the key relationships that a parent has is significant. As a matter of fact, there's another great passage of scripture that I want to mention to you, and it's found from the book of Ephesians in the New Testament, where Paul is writing in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4, he says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children." That's an interesting word there, and we won't take tons of time to dissect that, but this is all about parent-child relationship in this passage. It's a powerful one, as a matter of fact. "Fathers, do not exasperate your children, but instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Bring them up is a highly relational term, simply to nurture them along, regardless of age. We have a responsibility to bring them along and not to exasperate them or frustrate them or be, here's a word I love from this text, don't be inconsistent. Whew. I think that's one of the great parenting tools we can have as a parent is consistency. If we say no to this, then it means no. If we say that this behavior is okay, then that behavior is okay. We don't discipline for it. But if we say this behavior is wrong, then we discipline for that behavior and we're consistent with it. If we're not consistent, our kids do not know and it exasperates them. It frustrates them. By the way, biblically, you know what it does for them? It seeds in them a bitterness. And you go, what? I'm just going to crank up the volume. I don't want to hear that rebellious spirit out of my kid. I can't control him. No, you can't control him. You have to influence him. And for those of you just starting out in your parenting, you have the benefit of the green flag starting. The second relationship that is critical is those that are outside your home. Listen to what Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 20 says. "He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm." You and I know this about our kids. We've been blessed with a sense of wisdom as a parent. How we might say that to a elementary, middle school, or high schooler here at the chapel would be this: your friends will determine the direction and quality of your life. Choose good ones. You know, as parents, just as I do, we must ask ourselves, who is influencing our children? Who are their friendships? Who's hanging out with them? We've got to be very intentional about this. And again, that's one of the things I love about the chapel, is we are intentional at placing people into their life that can help them grow and to mature. "He who walks with the wise will grow wise, but a companion of fools will suffer harm." Thirdly, the most critical relationship is that of God. If you're going to start out in your parenting skill, the first and foremost relationship is one with God. Matter of fact, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 address this specifically for us as parents. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll make your path straight." It's an incredible promise for you and me as a parent, that if we will teach our children to trust the Lord in all circumstances of life, trust him. We got to model that and we got to teach that. Trust the Lord. Then our kids will grow up with a confidence knowing God is their partner walking side by side with them. So no matter what life challenges come their way, no matter how difficult the decision, no matter how bad the peer pressure, they know they've got a partner in God. And they can trust him. How awesome would it be to send off your 16, 17-year-old on their first date and they go to the big school party and know you've got the confidence as a parent they're going to make the wise choice because they understand they've got purpose and value in the eyes of God and the eyes of their parents. That's being relationally driven. Today, the question is this: will we be wise enough to be intentional about our relationships? And to be sure that they don't just have more experiences, more activity because life is super fast. And it's like we're on this highway screaming down the racetrack. And we want to encourage you today, get your children headed in the right direction. It's the direction, not our intention, that will determine the destination of our children. Our parenting days are here for a short time. We have them in our home for a period of time. And then they grow and establish their own life. And we still have the opportunity to parent them, but it changes. Those of you that have already been down that track, you know what I'm saying. Some of you are just getting started out in this journey. Please invest in the relationship with your kids. If you're a grandparent, you're an uncle and aunt, you're a brother, and your brother or sister are now having children, invest relationally in them. If that relationship is strained this week, find opportunity to begin mending a bridge of relationship. Because the day's coming, you won't be able to control that child. You're going to want to influence them. The greatest relationship that we can possibly have at the starting line is with God. You want your kids to see Him? You got to model it. It doesn't mean you're going to be perfect, but we have the opportunity to invest in their life relationally. I'm all about experience. I like having great experiences with my kids and them getting to experience things, but don't find yourself creating a culture in your home where the ethos is all about the experience. Make it all about the relationships. Can I pray for you? Father, we love you today. Ultimately, it all stems back to the first and foremost relationship, and that's with you. And I thank you at 17, my senior year of high school, kneeling on my knees with my mom. In our living room, praying and asking you into my heart with my mom right next to my side. I thank you for the privilege of all three of our children getting a chance to be with them when they've made a huge, the most life-altering decision, and that was to give their life to you. I thank you as a parent for being a part of that. As you sit and you reflect and you kind of got your head bowed and your eyes closed for a second, set aside the parenting piece. Do you have a relationship with Him? You're here today and you go, you know, I've not even got the green flag started in my own personal life, and I need to get started in my first and foremost relationship. Before I can even begin to build relationally with my kids or back into the life of my parents, I need to get things squared away at the starting line with God. And you'd say, man, today I'm ready to give my life to you. God stands with open arms calling you. And the greatest relationship you'll ever experience is one with Him. You may be here today and you grew up in a poor relationship home. And you want to see that rebuilt or invested into. And can I just encourage you, it starts at the cross. If you don't know Him, today, would you give your life to Him and start the race fresh and new? Right in your seat, in the quietness of this moment in your heart, you might say something like this to God, between you and Him and God. And I need a fresh start today. I need a relationship with you. In this moment, the best I know how, I believe you died on a cross, and I believe you rose 3 days later to have a relationship with me, and today I give you my life. And as the green flag is waved, I start fresh and new with you. would you come into my life? For those of you, you've established a relationship with God, but the relationship with your children or your parents is strained. It's a tough topic to talk about. It's one that oftentimes we don't even like to explore if it is stressed. If there's significant tension, we like to just suppress it. And can I encourage you today? Find the value in your children and your parents. Turn down the volume. Begin to explore ways that you could build relationally. Just a minute. I and some of our pastors will be in the fireside room. We don't have all the answers for you as a parent. But what we do know is that God has equipped you, designed you, and blessed you with a unique opportunity to parent a child, and for us to also be the child of a parent. Build the relationship. May your kids leave home with a relationally rich lifestyle. And the experiences that come along the way, may they be fantastic, but generated through the relationship. Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have to be a parent. For the moms, the dads that are engaged in this challenging task. For that single mom out there that's struggling, may she find encouragement and strength. For that marriage that is in significant battle and the kids are feeling the effects of it, God, may you strengthen them up and give them a renewed passion. Because the next generation is watching. May we be faithful. In Christ's name, amen.